Listeners, you're listening to another exciting episode of Chewing the Scenery Horror Movie Podcast.
Why?
You're going to ask yourself that question a lot in this episode. This is a podcast where we friends get together and talk about a horror movie, which we're going to spoil. But first, talk about some recently watched. Going to spoil that too. We've quit lying to people. Do you like that?
No. I like my podcast to have lots of lies.
Lots of deception. Let you try and figure it out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do your own research, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We thank the Moonrays for giving us that song intro creature features at the top of the show.
Thank you, Moonrays.
Yeah, thanks. Find their music on Amazon or Apple Music. Buy it digitally.
Probably not in the Amazon, though.
Maybe not. Yeah,
watch out for acid pools.
Watch out for acid.
Quicksand. Lost Tribes. Lost things like that.
All the stuff you find in Connecticut.
We're not professional critics. We're your hosts. I'm Richard, here with Jolien.
Hello.
And Will.
Goodbye.
So, we're going to talk about that recently watched, and then we're going to talk about another Glenn Danzig movie.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Get ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it. No, that was more of a Hetfield thing, wasn't it? So, Jolien, you started last time, or Will, you started last time by saying you didn't have much to talk about.
I don't have anything this week either.
No?
A lot of mergers she wrote.
Oh, man.
Mergers she wrote?
Merger she wrote?
This sort of corporate intrigue.
Mergers she wrote. Yeah, it was.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue, but it's interesting.
Mergers she wrote. It is hard to say. It's like rural juror.
We've been watching Mad Men, and they did the merger with the company from England.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mad Gentleman.
Yeah. That
merger
was,
she wrote?
It was like a merger she wrote.
Man, that's hard to say.
It is, isn't it? If it was all you were going to say, and you weren't thinking of murder she wrote, it would probably...
Merger she wrote. No, it
still doesn't.
Yeah, no, it doesn't roll off the tongue right.
It doesn't. So, Jolien, what have you watched?
Well, I thought I'd talk about a good movie to balance things out this episode.
What? What the fuck is a good movie? Are such things possible?
We call them films.
Films.
Film.
Motion pictures. Border, 2018, directed by Ali Abbasi. Have you seen this one?
I have not.
Swedish movie.
Oh, I've heard of it, but I have not seen it.
Can't say much about this. Just going cold. Don't watch trailers and nothing.
Okay. It's my preferred method anyway.
All right. From a story by the author of Let the Right One In.
Oh, nice.
There you go. Sold.
Sold indeed.
Several plot threads. Where's this going to go? I had four guesses running. The most bizarre one turned out to be the correct one.
Oh.
Very pleasing.
Excellent.
There's stuff in here so weird, so well done. It was amazing.
Oh, fantastic.
Border.
Border.
All right. Starting from that high.
Okay.
Let's go down.
Falling quickly.
The Fall of the House of the Usher. Fall of the House of Usher from 1979. This is the one TV movie directed by James L. Conway, who did Hangar 18.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Which source of conspiracy people have seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This stars Robert Hayes.
All through my brain.
Around the time he did Airplane.
Yeah.
As Jonathan Cresswell. So immediately you're watching the guy from Airplane in a Edgar Allan Poe movie. It kind of spoils the atmosphere a little.
A little.
He does a good job, but you know, can't help thinking. He goes to see his friend Roderick Usher and see if he can fix the crumbling house. Spoiler alert, he can't.
No.
Roderick is played by Martin Landau.
Oh.
Whose scenery chewing doesn't help the structure. Ray Walston from my favorite Martian plays the butler Thaddeus. And he seems to be in a campier version of the story than everyone else. There's always scenes where Jonathan Creswell was trying to get it on with his new bride. And the butler, you know, because he's creeping around because everything's got to be really quiet in this house.
Yeah.
And he'll just like suddenly pop up with a plate of cheese or something. Oh, sorry. Did I interrupt you, sir? Demetra Arliss looks great as the crazy Madeline Usher. You know, it's nice sets and,
yeah,
you know, I liked Martin Landau and stuff. You know, it was enjoyable.
Yeah, when he can really chew the scenery.
Yeah. Watched another TV movie called Dr. Cook's Garden from 1971. You heard of this one?
No.
So this is Bing Crosby's only horror movie.
Oh, my God. Other than his real life?
Yeah. Well, allegedly.
Or his kid's real life,
according to one of his kids, wrote this biography where he talked about being beaten a lot, but the other kids deny it, so yeah. I can't say. Not going to gossip. Anyway, this is directed by Ted Post, who did Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
This is from a 1967 play by R11.
R11, famous playwright droid.
How do you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Ira? It was Ira.
Yeah, Ira.
R11 of Rosemary's Baby. And
I heard R.
Stepford.
Just R11.
Oh. R11. Oh, I see. Okay. So there's this playwriting droid.
Yeah.
Like that time you said werewolf lore, but it sounded like law, and Will started laughing.
Okay. Werewolf law.
I want to watch that series.
So written by R11, so yes, it's about an idyllic white community with a dark secret.
As robots, right.
In this one, there's a young doctor named James who returns to his hometown in Vermont, where the local physician and his father figure, Dr. Cook, is pruning bad people from the population. Dr. Cook is played by Bing Crosby, the only villainous role of his I can think of. Cast includes Frank Converse as James and Blythe Danner as Janie.
I
was not aware of this one.
Yeah, it's all right. And apart from that, we're still watching Ultraman. And
the never-ending Ultraman.
Yeah, we're almost caught up now. We're up to like the 2019, 2020.
So they're not still making them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're constantly making them.
Yeah, but that's where
he'll never run out.
Right.
That's where we're up to. The one we're watching right now, it's written as Ultraman R/B, but it's pronounced Rube.
Okay.
Rube. I don't think they understand what Rube means in English, but
maybe not.
That's how they pronounce it. So Ultraman Rube, but it's about this pair of brothers, and one turns into a red Ultraman and one turns into a blue one. For some reason, the red one's referred to as Ultraman Rosso and the blue one's referred to as Ultraman Blue without the E.
Okay.
I don't know where that comes from, but yeah. Anyway, that's what we're enjoying right now.
Ultraman Rube. He's playing the Rubes. Ultraman's running a 3-car Monte game on the side.
That was it.
When he's not playing the saxophone in the subway.
Yeah.
Busking, as it were. I don't know if I mentioned in past episodes that we've been rewatching Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I remember some plot points and some things, but it's such a wonderfully made dramatic series, as far as like they do give the characters plenty to do, and it's so like matter of fact about the stereotypical stuff that people would do or say back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Because really the early 60s were just a hangover of the 50s.
Yeah.
Not much had changed yet. People were excited about change, but they weren't really doing it. They're like, yeah, the future, except we want to still be awful.
You don't have to do anything for the future, though. It'll just happen.
It's going to happen whether you like it or not. You just sit still.
Yeah, just sit still. It's coming.
But the way that the costuming and the set decoration has been handled in this series is amazing.
Yeah, it's really fantastic.
Don't feel like they missed a single thing. Like, you'd have to be an expert on all of that stuff to spot a single thing.
Yeah, a total nerd.
I know they do get one thing wrong.
What's that?
Well, ahem. They go to see a Japanese monster movie, which hadn't been made at the time.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
They watch Gamera.
It would have to be something
whole
like that.
Whole series is crap now.
Sorry.
I do know that there's the scene where he takes Bobby to go see Planet of the Apes.
That's fantastic.
And the ending blows the kid's mind,
Yeah, he's like 10 or 12, and he's just like, wow, they did it. They really did it.
But that would be... So that's 68.
It goes from 1960 to...
69.
Okay. Yeah. And then they jump ahead to like 72 or something.
Yeah. And there's a real Sacco ending that I think is really cool.
Yeah.
That I just remembered the other day. And I was like, oh, I can't tell her about that. And I also didn't mention how The Sopranos ended, because for me it was a rewatch, and for my wife it was a first watch. And she's like, why was this such a big deal? And I said, you got to understand, there was nothing else good. Like, The Sopranos was the only thing where they put a lot of effort into it. Everything else was, like, so formulated and so, you know, like, procedural.
And Law and Order, step by step.
Yeah, basically.
Or The Sopranos, which looked fantastic.
Before Werewolf Law came out.
Werewolf Law, yeah, that was not quite out yet. Dick Wolf is still writing.
Right, I was going to say, it's got to be a Dick Wolf.
Werewolf.
Dick Werewolf production. So, I think we got to be in about
two equal parts of the law, the werewolves and the lawyers that prosecute them.
I really want to watch that more than anything.
I'm just a simple country werewolf.
So
I don't know your fancy city ways.
we're in season three and or season two or three. Anyway, there was something, of course, my wife totally missed that I totally spotted, was when you see Roger Sterling helping his daughter proof the wedding invitations, which is going to be for the following year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on November 23rd, 1963.
Oh.
I was like, damn!
That's a good day.
And Caitlin's like, what? And I was like, don't you know what happens the day before that? It's going to ruin their wedding. Anyway, hopefully the bridesmaids aren't wearing pink with pillbox hats. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Blood
splattered pink suits.
On that note, I watched Rush to Judgment, the 4K restoration. This was, 1966 documentary? Rush Judgment presented for the first time a simple, concise legal argument that the Warren Commission was hiding something, suggesting a broader conspiracy. Lee Harvey Oswald could not have single-handedly killed President John F. Kennedy. Director Emile D'Antonio and lawyer Mark Lane recorded unpolished first-hand interviews with witnesses with direct proximity to the murders, but who were not given a platform in the official inquiry. Which is to say, the Warren Commission was like, no, we don't want to talk to them. They got blood splattered on them. They got hit by fragments of shit. Nope, don't want to talk to them. For a subject that has been rehashed and sensationalized so many times in the intervening 60 years, I've watched a lot of it. This documentary brings fresh clarity and presents cool-headed arguments, and a cool-headed argument that is untouched by time. So that's the blurb. They did leave grainy stuff grainy. They didn't clean up, interview footage just to clean it up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They showed a bunch of the Antonio documentaries on Channel 4 when I was lived in Britain. And yeah, they're all good. But he's working with the actual footage,
You don't have much you can do.
There's nothing processed there.
Yeah. So that one, if you're going to dive into the subject... There you go. That's a good one to watch. It stands the test of time really well.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. Then I watched You Don't Know Me, spelled N-O-M-I. This is a documentary that talks about the 1995 erotic drama film Showgirls.
I was wondering what that name.
Yes.
It's not the biography of Klaus Nomi.
No.
No.
It is not.
Darn.
This one is, I would say it's fair and balanced in that they talked to a lot of different people who jumped into this movie because they thought it was going to be fun and campy, which it is. And they talked to other people who just said, you know, I thought this was a perfectly good movie. People who were in it who said, wow, we didn't know what it was going to turn out like, but here it is. So what are you going to do? Scream and cry about it or embrace it? So
just move on to your next movie. Hope people forget about it.
That's really what you should do, unless it really screws up getting any more film roles.
Yeah.
But they talked to people involved with making it. It was a flop at the box office, but I think it's really made up for that in how much of a cult classic it is for people. They showed like a drag show where they reenact it.
Oh, that'd be fun.
On stage. It is hilarious. So Peaches Christ is involved there. So you'll probably enjoy that. Just a lot of fun to watch. So there's a lot of, you know, analytical angles taken on this one where people are like, well, what happened was, or what this really represents is a lot of different views on this movie. And I enjoyed that because I can watch this and just look at it as a spectacle. And even when it first came out, I was like, ooh, this isn't good, but it's kind of fun to watch. You know, you've got Gina Gershon, you've got Kyle MacLachlan, you got the girl from Saved by the Bell. She's in it too.
Yeah.
Who's the lead? Elizabeth Berkeley?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Paul Verhoeven, you know. It's,
yeah. Yeah.
He's going to do what he does.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not a straightforward, realistic movie.
Yeah.
It's a satire of American mores.
Is the guy who made RoboCop going to grovel and beg for people to understand him? No. He's going to make whatever the hell he wants, and it's going to be Showgirls.
A quiet film about Showgirls.
Yeah. Right. What do you expect?
All takes place in one room. It's got two actors.
Right. Lots of walking.
Lots of walking. No stripping.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really funny, some of the dialogue, though. It's comical, but if you haven't rewatched Showgirls lately, or if you've never watched it, yeah, watch that, then watch this, or vice versa. It's fun. That was really about it for recently watched, and then I, like a jackass, paid good money for Death Rider and the House of Vampires. And made us all watch it.
And now Danzig has some money.
I'm not.
Yeah, and he can make another one of these.
I want to go see Doyle. He's going to be playing here like in the next month or two. I want to go see Doyle and ask him what he thinks.
Okay.
Like, you're bigger than him. You could beat him up. Tell us what you really think of the movie.
Isn't everybody bigger than him? Even Tom Cruise?
Yeah, well, but Danzig, they're about the same height, but Danzig's way more muscular. Or at least he was. He's looking a little doughy, but if you look at Doyle, holy shit. For a guy that doesn't eat any meat, he's a vegan. He is so ripped. He must have to eat his own weight in lentils every day.
Jesus. What a horrible fate. I haven't eaten lentils at all, but...
Doyle von Fartenstein.
Yeah.
So, guys, I know that you hadn't
recommend.
Seen this.
Moving on.
Moving on. That's yeah. The show. An
18-minute show. That'd be good, right?
Yeah, why not? That's more time than Danzig put into making this film.
All right. I'm going to start this off, and we're going to come back around to criticisms later. I'm going to start this off. Okay. I don't know what Synapse is, spelled C-I-N-A-P-S-E, but Dan Tabor from Synapse, not Synapse, says, Death Rider is another delirious dose of Danzig madness. It's the kind of film that does its best work in a theatrical setting with an audience to appreciate it, leaving you wondering after the fact if it was some kind of shared hallucination. Okay. And then Patrick Bromley from Bloody Disgusting said, has all the charm of Veronica and nearly all of its flaws, too. Okay.
It didn't have the charm of Veronica, though. That was the problem.
Was it lacking charm? Was that it?
Was yeah, that was the main problem, because okay. It was lacking charm.
Okay.
They just could have put some charm into it. It would have been great.
It would need to be about 10 times more charming than that Arnold on Green Acres.
Yeah.
So this was your first experience watching it. Will, you watched it with me. Julian, did you subject your wife to this?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
I'm sorry. When is the divorce?
How's the couch? Is it lumpy?
It was immediate.
It was immediate. I'm out on the corner now.
He's in the literal doghouse.
I'm not leaving here. I'm not going back.
I can't go back.
What did you think and what did she think?
Well, it starts off with 5 minutes. I timed it. I looked at the timer. 5 minutes of Death Rider and Tasha Rain riding through the desert.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
And a boob job with no name.
Tasha looks really uncomfortable. That was our first thought. It was like, she looks really uncomfortable on that horse because she's just wearing these like silk
panties. Yeah.
And it must have been cold. She doesn't look like the sort of person who's used to riding horses.
No.
She must be so bruised.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we were thinking during the 5 minutes of them riding through the Mojave Desert. Then they meet Danny Trejo as Bella Latigo.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
And leave him to die at sunup, so he's out of the movie.
Yeah, wisely.
That's Danny Trejo gone before the credits.
Yeah, that's how he does it.
Did you enjoy that he was staked to the ground and still making threats?
Yeah, and then they leave and they don't show what happens to him.
He's just yelling, "Gringo! Gringo!"
Hard to make out what he's saying around those choppers, though.
Yeah, the fangs were not a lot of help.
I can make out the gringo.
Yeah.
And then there's more riding, and I noticed one of his directorial styles, you know, the auteur
mm-hmm.
yeah.
we're examining today. One of his things he uses is the double crash zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get like Jess Franco circa 72
yeah.
crash zooms. But Danzig uses the double crash zoom. It's like, it would zoom in on a sign and then it would zoom in even
more, yeah.
During one of the long shots of them riding through the desert, you can see this highway in the background.
Yes.
Did they at least have wagon trains on it?
Yeah, that was it.
And then it goes to the titles, which we found difficult to read.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. And then the opening theme started shortly after that, didn't it?
Yeah. So for the music, it's like, I think Danzig gets credit for the music as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he also brings in his guitarist is Tommy Victor from Danzig.
Mm-hmm.
And Prong and Ministry
mm-hmm.
playing the guitar. It's not bad.
Yeah.
No.
You get something anyway.
But that's, you know, he's obviously going for this Italian Western feel.
Yeah.
And that's the only successful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
And the poster and the storyboards are by Simon Bisley.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'd rather look at those.
Yeah, so that's what's in the cover, I think.
Yeah. So, then we get the, we got the Wild West boob job, which is not explained.
Boob jobs of the old west.
What we used back then was bags of sand. We didn't have none of your fancy silicone. We used silica.
Silica.
I think the earliest breast enhancement stuff was air fuel, wasn't it? During the occupation of Japan.
Really?
Yeah, the prostitutes realized that the Americans went for bigger boobs, so they'd enhance themselves, and they were using like air fuel.
Wow, that sounds safe.
Wow, Yeah, this ride was filmed in real time. It was like Manos Hands of Fate tribute, maybe.
Yeah, that driving scene at the beginning.
Yeah,
just keeps going.
Maybe Danzig was like, "You know, it was a really good movie." Did you watch the interview?
Yes.
Did you know he talked like this? Like Grover huffed some Freon. So it takes us like what feels like 40 minutes to get to where they run into Danny Trejo's Billa Latigo.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. The names in this, my goodness. Why could they have named some of them after horror directors too?
Yeah, why didn't you do that, Danzig?
Yeah, that would have been cool. Yeah, so he drags ass riding to finally meet a vampire, and then he's super fast.
That was hilarious. I forgot about that.
Oh, now you're super fast.
That sped up running scene.
Right.
Straight from the Benny Hill show.
Should have played Yakety Sax.
I should have. Every time anyone runs that fast, it plays naturally.
Except for, you know, use the mouth harp on it too. Twang, twang, twang. yeah, the titles were endless.
Mm-hmm.
They may have been hard to read, but not because there weren't enough of them.
Yeah.
Let's see. Will pointed out that the bat effects were Birdemic level, so Batdemic.
Yeah. It's only briefly at the very beginning.
Yeah, I saw those.
Yeah, and they looked pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Yeah, they're heading into some place called Sanctuary. Glenn Danzig says, let me click out of this page.
He's... Who cares what Glenn Danzig said?
He said,
"I'm a fucking moron who shouldn't be allowed anywhere near a camera. Please, please stop me. I'll make another one."
He says, "Everybody in the movie is a vampire, so you won't have to wait around to see the vampire. They're all fucking vampires."
Thank you, Glenn.
Yeah, so you might think to have fewer vampires in the movie would make them more special, more interesting. But instead, everyone's a vampire. It's like one vampire kills another vampire. Whoop-de-doo.
Even the victims were vampires.
It seemed like it.
Yeah.
Wow. The saloon girls really should have just stuck to porn. They would.
It's more dignified than being in a Danzig movie.
I couldn't figure out this saloon. So for one thing, it's this wooden saloon. There's two floors.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third floor is this stone dungeon with vaulting.
Yes.
Or as the English would say, the second floor.
Supported.
Right?
No. Well, yeah. In England, this would be...
The second floor.
Yeah.
Is the stone dungeon.
Yes.
Because they say it's above the saloon.
Yes. I could not figure it out.
And the saloon's so quiet.
That was the thing. I think I had mentioned before, I watched a review on this on Red Letter Media, and they had pointed out, it's like just the sound, the set sound,
mm-hmm.
when they're walking around. It doesn't sound like the first part when they're in the saloon, there's crowd noise, and it sounds like doesn't sound real, but... It's background noise, you know. And then later, it's just all that stuff drops out like they forgot to put it in.
Well, there's even a dancer on stage and grooving around. There's no music.
No music at all,
Dude, you're a musician.
Evidently, I've heard the rumor is that they messed up the DVD before they sent it out.
Oh,
so they lost that track?
Yeah, they either lost the track or forgot it, so...
Ooh, maybe we should write to Cleopatra and tell them that we have a defective DVD. And they'll be like, "Oh, you mean the rare DVD?
The rare one?"
Oh, you have to hold on to it. Could be valuable.
Yeah. So Danny Trejo has been to prison. Do you think this was worse?
Probably.
This is what he had to do to get out early.
Yeah.
Right. It's community service. the fucking names: Drac Cassidy, Bad Bathory, Kid Vlad, Duke Von Wayne. Oh, God.
Fuck.
It's just whatever.
So bad.
So, but we're all watching it in earnest, just like, okay, we're going to just give it a shot. We watched Veronica. How much worse could it be?
Well.
It was worse. How is that possible?
He's experienced now.
I guess.
He still doesn't know how to end a scene.
Yeah. I think everyone...
Like the scene is like, the scene would go on, and then the actor's just sitting there. Yes. And then eventually, the camera kind of zooms in and things go out of focus, and then after what seems like another minute or two, it goes on to another scene.
Yeah.
So I think what you just said was what Danzig was saying on the schoolyard. So then he's like a little kid.
Like, and also it won't just zoom in on something significant. It will just go to a lock of like Ashley Wisdom's hair, or it'll go into Eli Roth's nostril at one point. Why? What? A lot of these camera shots, they seem to figure out what they're going to do with the camera after they start filming.
Yeah.
It's like, no, oh, the camera's going to, no, there's no blocking or anything. It's just like, oh, we'll just set things up and the camera's just going to kind of drift aimlessly.
That's what he said in the little interview, is that he's just like, gets the camera and starts shooting. And the camera, the actual professional cameramen were like, get the fuck out of here. Move. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I have a theory about having actress Kim director in the movie. So he could blame the bad directing on her.
Well, there's that scene where Julian Sands is sitting by himself for a couple of minutes. He's literally just sitting there wondering when someone's going to say cut.
Yeah.
Well, I will hand it to the late Julian Sands. At least he showed up and did some acting.
Yeah, yeah.
He and Eli Roth were the only ones that...
Could act at all?
Could act at all. And yes, Eli Roth acting.
Yeah. What was really weird, though, was Julian Sands had that Wild West neon pink lighting on him the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I started to ask, does Danzig want us to think of this like with Creepshow, that it's, you know, it should feel like a comic book? Is that what he wants, or was that just a big mistake? Like, it just happened.
It's hard to say.
We're second guessing Glenn Danzig.
Yeah, don't.
I should probably go on record as saying I really dig the Misfits, everything he did with the Misfits. I wish it was recorded better, in the same way I wish this movie was made better. But I the sound quality of those early Misfits albums, not great, but you know, the energy, the writing, it's just such fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Danzig solo albums are so ridiculous, like so over the top, you know, Lucifuge and stuff like that. Fun. Really kind of a cool thing that he decided to go that direction and just be like, no, I'm way more sinister than that. That stuff was too fun. I want to be really evil and sinister. Cool, man. I can appreciate that. What is going on here? I'm just trying to figure it out. Is he doing a Creepshow thing with the pink lighting? What's with the weird zooms up the nostrils? Who knows? The criminal underuse of Danny Trejo? Damn it. It's like Sid Haig was in fucking Bone Tomahawk longer than Danny Trejo was in this. But still. What did work?
This nothing. Is the,
this is the
not a goddamn thing.
I thought the sets, props, and costumes were not bad.
Okay.
I thought the effects were all right. The physical effects were I think the effects people knew what they were doing, but someone I won't name didn't know how to film the effects because they were overlit.
Yes.
And the camera would zoom right in on them until you could see all the seams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Because when it was dark and the blood was pumping out of some stack, it did look pretty good.
Yeah, but, if it, and it wasn't lit with bright white
but
lights.
But yeah, he definitely shows, I don't know her name, but one of the victims there. And yeah, you could see the patch of latex.
The edges of the patches.
Yeah, kind of in the same way that if you're going to do that really cool trick of making it look like a flickering movie theater.
Yeah, don't show the fan with the light behind it.
don't include it in the shot, you fucking genius. But when you look through a camera, do you see like the little rectangles that show like the different formats of, you know, scope? The different aspect ratios.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what scope you're going to shoot in, and you have your viewfinders
set for that,
showing you what you're going to see and where the bleed is and everything.
He was looking at the wrong ones. For the whole movie.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was.
Who knows?
Bit I really like was the clown whore coach. This coach pulls up at the brothel.
Yeah,
and it's like just your standard Wild West coach.
Yeah,
like 20 whores pile out of it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You should only be able to fit maybe 4 or 6 people in one of those coaches.
I'd say probably about 6 people. Yeah,
yeah, not more than
24.
A dozen. Yeah. Wow. So you did say what did work. Now, I will say that if this were community theater and all those sets and costumes and effects looked like that, you know, you'd give it some props. You'd say this is for community theater is pretty good.
Yeah, if this was a regional horror movie made for like $20,000 by some community theater people, yeah, it'd be all right.
All right.
Yeah. They did something.
We
but
were saying earlier, like he's got an actual professional director there, right there.
Yes, yes, he does. And he did not use him at all.
No.
Clearly.
I mean, say what you will about his movies, Eli Roth can direct something, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. He seems to be a smart, nice-looking guy. Maybe charming. Seems charming.
A little bit, yeah.
Could he have just not warmed up to Danzig a little and said, hey, look, buddy, I got an idea. You want to hear it?
No, I got it all sorted out.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to, he's like the, like George Lucas is a, you know, a talented guy.
Yeah.
That no one can say no to, and you get, you know, things happen
that way.
The prequels,
yeah.
And Danzig is like similar. There doesn't seem to be anyone around who's saying no.
No, there is no one there. Yeah.
You know, did you proofread the end credits?
No.
No, because when the assistants is spelled wrong. And
oh boy.
Assistant spelled with like 4 S's. Yeah, if you watch this again, because you own a copy,
yeah,
so you might be the one person in the world, the rare person
that watches it twice. Again.
Yeah, watch for assistant to James Cullen Bresak.
Okay,
see how many S's there are in assistant.
Yeah, maybe it's like that scene from Dutch Till Dawn, you know, where.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Suspiria with snakes.
Snakes. No, I was going to say, isn't there sort of a cobra-like thing that happens? I don't know. Anyway, I was going to say there's an assistant. Since I suspected that this particular episode might run a little short because everyone's just going to be like, yeah, that sucked. Yeah, that sucked. Oh, that sucked too. I forgot about how much that sucked. Which is that would just be mean.
Well, I thought Ashley Wisdom was better than she was in Verotica.
Yes, she was.
And so I looked up her filmography. Shall I read her filmography?
Yes, this is beautiful. I love this. We looked this up while we were watching this.
Yeah, I was reading it off to Will. So, go ahead.
This is not all of them.
Do you want to work backward from most current?
I'll go from her earliest. My Stepsister Squirts 3.
That is a classic.
Giant Juicy Jugs 4.
Not so good.
Soapy Wet Tits.
Eh, it was all right.
Femdom Empire.
No, I didn't miss see that one.
Deviant Stepsister Massages 2.
And not as good as the first.
Big Naturals.
Terrible.
Young and Glamorous 7.
All right.
Anal Lessons 3.
No.
Liquid Lesbians.
Liquid Lesbians.
See, I don't like the academic stuff.
Yeah.
The Anal Lessons.
Huge Horny Tits 7.
How are tits horny?
Baby Got Boobs.
Honk, honk.
Baby Got Boobs. One of the less popular Look Who's Talking Now movies. Baby's Got Boobs.
Teachers 2. Asshole Invasion.
Well, that was every Chuck Norris.
Is that an invasion of assholes or invading an asshole or both?
That's every Chuck Norris movie.
It is.
Airbags.
Which was actually a safety video.
Teenage Rampage 18.
Wow, there's 18 of those now.
Space Sex 2. Everything But 2 T's. Curvy Lesbians 2. Cream Pie Virgin. A Gonzo Story.
She's never had cream pie?
Boobs Beyond Belief 3. Punish My Pussy. Interracial Blowbang. Asshole Fever.
Oh, that's deadly. Asshole Fever. If you get that, it's all over.
It's every John Travolta movie. Now, he seems like a nice guy. I shouldn't say that.
Going on.
Okay.
Glory Hole. Gang Bang Cream Pie.
That's an awful.
It's a lesser known Ted Nugent album.
Ice cream novelty.
Didn't you remember the comics in the old Marvel comics?
Yeah.
This would be Spider-Man. Gang Bang Cream Pie.
Gang Bang Cream Pie. Hulk Smash.
Hardcore Gang Bang. Rocco, Sex Analyst. Perfect Slaves 11.
It's pronounced analyst.
Oh. Excuse me. I got that one wrong. Rocco's Perfect Slaves 11. Teens versus MILFs 6. Heavenly Voluptuous. Insatiable Busty Girls. Wet Interracial Tits 2.
Interracial tits? Like one is black and one is white?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Mandingo Up Your Ass.
Tarantino drew a lot from that movie. You'll call him derivative for a reason.
Cuckold Sessions. My Sexy Boss Likes Anal.
That's what I remember.
Mom Drips.
Oh.
And then we get to Verotica. Good Guy with a Gun. And Death Rider in the House of Vampires.
So it's going downhill for her.
Yeah. Now.
She'll never top My Boss Loves Anal or whatever.
Oh, man. That is quite the IMDb list.
Yeah, something to be proud of.
Yeah.
So, considering that I thought this might run short if we didn't read IMDb credits, I came up with, we haven't drawn slips of paper out of a hat lately. So, what I did was I took some reviews from Rotten Tomatoes, and I think it was from there. Anyway, some short user reviews. It was user reviews from Rotten Tomatoes. I cut them into little scraps of paper and put them in a hat. Okay. So I want you to each take a slip of paper and read a review of Death Rider and the House of Vampires. Will, you want to go first?
Tits and ass. Blood and more blood. It was better than Tombs of the Blind Dead.
What?
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Better than Tombs of the Blind Dead.
I'm glad Jolien didn't have to read those words.
Yeah. Oof.
Glenn Danzig's Death Rider in the House of Vampires has all the charm and flaws of Verotica.
That's pretty dead on.
Will?
It was just awesomely bad. If you saw Verotica, you kind of knew what to expect. Glenn wasn't out to make an Oscar-nominated film. Or
Duh.
A film at all.
Horrible in every sense of the word. It's a walkout kind of movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right.
Will?
Best movie I've ever seen in my entire life. A must see for the whole family.
Glenn Danzig.
Yeah, it is.
Better than Solaris.
Yes, better. Better than Stalker.
Aren't you reading anything?
Oh, sure. I'll read one. You want me to go next?
Yes.
Okay. I'd rather watch Steven Spielberg sing for the Misfits. Stop stroking Danzig's ego and be honest. He makes horrible movies.
What a stupid, dumb vampire horror Western movie. Don't waste your time checking it out or waste your money by the same director who did Veronica. It's all one sentence.
Sounds like Lucy Van Pelt wrote that one. Yeah. A stupid, dumb vampire movie.
You blockhead,
was
Glenn.
Not impressed. Roughly 9 to 10 minute scenes of stilted dialogue. I had time to kill. It looked interesting. Sadly, not worth the 12 admission price. The FX was not as bad as the rest of the movie, but it was still a low-budget quality.
Hmm. So was that review.
You got one?
Yep, I'll go next. But Glenn Danzig's acting was the best thing about this movie. Spot on. Stole the show.
Only scared little babies would give this less than 5 stars. This film is a thing of great beauty and is not intended for posers. Bad Bathory is more than one star weakling can more than these 1-star weaklings can handle. Ha 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 ha. Hell yeah.
We gotta end on that note, Julian.
5 stars. I enjoyed this film much more than Verotica. It was awesome, and I hope Glenn does a sequel.
All right. I'll read the last one. This is a 1-star review from a verified user. Made The Room look like Citizen Kane. Wow.
Yeah, probably.
So, anything else he has in common with Orson Welles? The forehead, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, this thing was, wow, it was a spectacle.
It was terrible. Was worse than I expected.
Orson Welles did a song with Manowar.
Did he?
Really?
He didn't sing, but he read this text.
Oh, okay.
In the was it an interview? I guess the guy wasn't a great interviewer. I don't know if you guys noticed that. In the Blu-ray extras, the guy who interviewed Danzig, he got Danzig talking about spaghetti westerns. He's like, yeah, I want to be like Sergio Leone with this thing. And it's like, did you feel like there was enough there to say that's an homage to spaghetti westerns? Other than the fact that we got just a long ride through the desert and the music. The music where he wasn't crooning did sound vaguely spaghetti western. So I'll give him that.
And that's it.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I didn't know it was supposed to be an homage until I saw the interview.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It didn't really stand out. It just was too garish, too well lit, except when it was lit pink. Really weird choice. So I have to ask you both. As far as we know, this was the last film that Julian Sands was in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think his family could sue to have this stopped? So it's not his legacy that this was the last thing he made. Can you think of any other actors that ended on such a bad note?
We were talking about that with Trog. And
what was the other one? The Raul Julia.
Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Raul Julia, yeah. Died right after that.
Just needed the money, huh?
And you said he did it for his kids.
They were fans of the video game, so he did it for his kids.
Well, he'd probably do anything for those kids.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't like he planned to have a heart attack to kill them. Few do.
Right. Sid Haig's last movie was 3 from Hell.
God damn. I thought I was going to ask which was worse, this or 3 from Hell?
This.
You sure it's not recency bias? Because, yeah, I'm going to have to say this is probably worse.
Yeah, we were in the archive, which is the Vinegar Syndrome store. And I asked Teresa, you know, when this was weeks ago, you know, when is this thing coming out? And are you going to get Death Rider? And she's like, yeah, I did.
Look, we sell shit here, but we don't sell that kind of shit.
Right. This is Vinegar Syndrome, buddy.
Right. And, you know, that store does carry, you know, several other labels. But, Yeah, she didn't seem excited about the prospect of carrying the movie. But I think there's going to be...
She knew Criterion was on it.
Yeah.
It beat Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah, you laugh, but someday, you know, Criterion might be like... being all fucking dignified and shit with like the Glenn Danzig collection.
Be a box come set. In a steel box.
Yeah. God.
Shaped like Danzig's head.
So, yeah, I don't know what to do with this. You know,
I'll bury it in the backyard. Deep.
It might grow more.
Salt it.
Salt it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I think we talked about everything that's bad about it and a couple things.
Nothing
that
is good about it.
Yeah.
Not a goddamn thing.
All right. So let's do the recommends. Yes. Unless there's anything else.
Highly recommended. 2 thumbs up. 4 stars.
2 thumbs right in my eye sockets.
Yeah.
Julian?
No.
No, can't recommend
Surprisingly,
it?
No.
Yeah, I guess... It would take a lot of weed and a lot of popcorn for a room full of people to enjoy this, unless you know what you're walking into. How many people?
It just wasn't even interesting. It wasn't even fun. Like Veronica was at least so awful and so off the wall as well. It was like a train wreck. You know, you had to watch, but this is just watching paint dry.
You'd have to come up with some kind of games to play while you're waiting for a scene to end.
Yeah, yeah.
And just nothing's happening.
And throw toast at the screen for the next 5 minutes.
Right. I should have, and I don't recommend it either, but I will say that I know there are people who are going to watch it anyway, and I'd love it if they would message us on Instagram and say, hey, you know what? Here's what made it fun for me and my dumb friends. I think what we should have done ahead of time, and I just thought of this now, is we should have come up with our own vampire cowboy names.
Oh, that would have been good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have Bat Masterson. You don't even have to change it.
Yeah. How about Matt Basterson?
Matt Basterson. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I could improv that right now, but.
No, no. But my writers could have come up with some stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I pay him for.
Right.
I got 6 writers coming up with jokes.
Yeah, there were no plays on the words involving Nosferatu or anything.
No.
Yeah. So for next time, I'll see if I can... We should each try to come up... Remember when we... tried to come up with recipes for a Black Ace Freely cocktail.
And I did.
And you did. You came up with a good... Mine was terrible. I don't know what I was thinking. But yours was a tasty drink. Mm-hmm. We should, for next time, try to come up with our own cowboy vampire names.
Okay.
All right.
Batty the Kid.
Anything else before we call it a show?
No.
Well, you know, if we could come up with an intro or an outro that's as long as a fucking horse ride in this one, then we'd hit an hour.
Yeah, okay. It's just good. Play that song for the rest of them.
Death Rider. Or whatever. I haven't heard it in so long. I don't know what it was. But... I haven't
heard it in so long, like a week.
We could just leave the record button on... No, after we've left the room.
Yeah, for like 5 minutes and then turn it off. Yeah,
the shuffling of feet, the barking of dogs, mm-hmm. the occasional vrooming of a neighbor driving by dealing drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I could maybe turn the Ring camera on live and just get the audio from that.
There you go. You
can hear cars going by. All right, well, let's call it a show. Do we know that we're doing Turbulence?
Well, if we're doing Metal March.
Yeah.
Well, that's my pick.
Turbulence 3.
But it's Will's pick next.
I will pick something soon.
Okay. Well, we'll not worry about that terribly much right now then, listeners. Listeners, thank you for listening.
Stay out of the House of Vampires.
Yeah, no problem, right?